The reading this morning is from Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded on what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law.
Well, do turn back in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Let's pray again. Father, we do thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you that you loved us so much. You gave Jesus. And out of his love, he was willing to go all the way to the cross and to die there for us when we had rebelled against you and justly incurred your wrath. Thank you that that wrath was spent on Jesus on the cross. Lord, it's too much for our minds to take in. But teach us something of this truth this morning, we pray, from your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. It was December 1982, and millions of television viewers were glued to their sets as they watched a man struggling to survive in the freezing cold water of the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. A helicopter quickly reached the scene, and viewers watched as the helicopter let down a rope to pull the man to safety. The man grabbed the rope, but then, astonishingly, quite deliberately, he let go of it. This happened 5 times, grabbing hold of it, and then, quite deliberately, letting it go. Before, exhausted, he went under and died. This doesn't make any sense. Why would you let go of the rope 5 times and drown? Well, you need to understand the context. A plane had taken off from Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C. The engines had failed. The pilot had made an emergency landing on the Potomac River. All the passengers were left in the freezing river. The helicopter arrived and let down the rope. The man was a strong swimmer. He grabbed the rope and brought it to those who were drowning. They were pulled to safety. This happened 5 times. Before, exhausted, he went under and died. What, at first sight, seemed like a crazy waste of life was, in fact, a rescue. I was in a Bible study and someone said, I just don't understand why Jesus died. After all, he seems to have almost provoked his confrontation with the Jewish authorities. It's almost as if he chooses to go to the cross. Why would he do this? It's such a crazy waste of life. But it was a rescue. We're looking today at God's rescue for the world. In this letter to the Romans, Paul sets out the gospel. It's his clearest and fullest exposition of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Here is the answer to our greatest need. We are sinful. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. And none of us can escape this, whether we're Jewish and religious or Gentile and atheistic. We all stand under the judgment of God because of our sin. Chapter 3, verse 10. There is no one righteous, not even one. Every single one of us has broken God's law. We've rebelled against him. We've refused to have Jesus as our King. And we stand under the judgment of God. We're like the passengers in the Potomac River. We're facing certain destruction. But because God loves us, he gives a rescuer. Three headings on the backs of your notice sheets. God's rescue. Righteousness through faith. God's rescue. Appeasing his own wrath. God's rescue makes us humble. Firstly then, God's rescue, righteousness through faith. Verses 21 to 24. Verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This is wonderful good news. There is no one who is righteous. We all stand under God's judgment, but now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This can also be translated, a righteousness of God has been made known. In other words, in the gospel, the glorious standard of God is revealed. His righteousness, his justice, his goodness. That's a fair translation. But we're still talking about a gift from God. As we will see in a moment, there is a way of being righteous apart from law, apart from rule keeping. My friend who didn't want to accept that Jesus intended to go to the cross also could not accept that they'd done anything wrong. Many people feel that by keeping the rules, they'll get to heaven. But now, a righteousness from or of God, apart from law, apart from rule keeping, apart from earning salvation, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The Old Testament always promised that God would send a way of being righteous. Paul is going to say in chapter 4 that Abraham is the great example of this. Abraham receives righteousness as a gift. It is credited to him. Rather like if great-aunt Maud credits some money into your account as a Christmas present. It's a gift. And verse 22, this righteousness or justice, it's the same word that's translated justice in verse 26. This righteousness from God or of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. How do you get right with God? How do you receive his righteousness? How do you receive his justice? You believe. You have faith. When Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, went to China, he made the voyage on a sailing vessel. As it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock at his door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind. We're drifting towards an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they're cannibals." "What can I do?" asked Taylor. "I understand you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." "All right, Captain, I will. But you must set the sail." "Why, that's ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, the sailors will think I'm crazy." But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. "You can stop praying now," said the captain. "We've got more wind than we know what to do with." Faith is about coming to the end of yourself. The captain of the ship could do no more. He could only ask Hudson Taylor to pray. In Romans, we must come to the end of ourselves. We must come to the end of our own good works, our religiosity. We must simply believe in what God offers. This righteousness from God comes through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. I can't make myself right with God. I can only now accept what Jesus has done on my behalf. Accept what he offers me. There's no difference, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I can convince myself that I'm not a sinner if I'm comparing myself to other people. But when I realize that the standard is the glory of God, then I realize that I'm a sinner, and what a sinner I am, compared to the glorious holiness of God. I am filthy, dirty. There are lots of illustrations of this in Christian circles. Here's my version. I had a dog when I was growing up, and he was called Scamp. He was a West Highland Terrier. He was also known as Yellow Smello, an adaptation of the Donovan song. They call him Mellow Yellow. Well, we called him Yellow Smello, because no matter how much we bathed him, we couldn't make him white. He was always somewhat yellow and smelly. He looked white enough if you put him against brilliant white, you could always see how dirty he was. And it's like that between us and God. We may look impressive. We may look white compared to people, But compared to God, we're dirty. We're yellow smellow. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And verse 24, are justified freely. Isn't that wonderful? By his grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Justified means declared innocent. So here we are. We're yellow against the white of God. We are sinful, but we may be declared clean, innocent, holy, pure by God's grace. In other words, we do not earn this. It's a gift of grace. It's a free gift through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Because Jesus died on the cross, he is able to redeem us. In other words, he pays the price to rescue us out of slavery to sin and death and hell. God's rescue, righteousness through faith. Secondly, God's rescue, appeasing his own wrath. Would it be right if God just swept our sin under the carpet? We had an excellent cleaner once who came to our house when we lived in Wales, and she did a good job, except that she didn't move the furniture and she didn't move the rug in the sitting room. So at some point after she'd gone, I would go round and hoover under the sofa and under the rug. Because although in many respects she did a good job, our cleaner left the dirt under the rug. Is God like that with our sin? Will he just say, oh, never mind. Never mind about lying. Never mind about cheating. Never mind about adultery. Never mind about pornography. Never mind about injustice. Will God just say that? No! God is righteously angry with sin. He is holy. He cares about child abuse. He cares about the distribution of wealth. God is righteously angry with sin. And so, verse 25, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Literally, this means God appeased his own anger. He propitiated his own anger through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. In Jesus, God the Son took the anger of God for my sin on himself on the cross. God's anger is satisfied. And that means he does not need to be angry with me. When I put my faith in Jesus' blood, God's anger for my sin is turned away. Jesus has dealt with it. And this means there is justice. There is justice for sin. Sin is not just swept under the carpet. He did this to demonstrate his justice, verse 25, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice or righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. A friend of mine was telling me about Rodney. Rodney was very unhappy in school, and so he took to systematically vandalizing the school property. Eventually, he threw a brick through a window. He was summoned to the headmaster's office, whereupon he threw another brick through the window. But the amazing thing is, he still didn't get punished, or not severely. The headmaster couldn't bring himself to expel the boy. Is God like that? After all, through history, he seems to have left sin unpunished. Paul's point is, it is at the cross that God punishes sin. It is at the cross that justice is done. We have broken God's laws. We deserve to be expelled from the school. But Jesus has come from heaven. He has lived a perfect life. And he has taken on himself the justice, the punishment we deserve for the things we've done wrong. God has shown himself to be just, whilst also making us just, making us righteous. This is the best news in the world. I am a sinner. There is a price that must be paid for my sin. If I refuse what Jesus has done for me, I will pay the price for my sin in hell. But because Jesus loves me, he has taken my punishment. Justice has been satisfied, and I can be forgiven. I can be right with God. I can go to heaven. God's rescue. Righteousness through faith. God's rescue. Appeasing his own wrath. God's rescue makes us humble. It's my third point. If I insist on saying that I am good enough for heaven, I'm doomed. Because the standard is not the standards of our society. The standard for heaven is God's own glory, God's holiness. So, verse 27, where then is boasting? Imagine if I said, I'm going to go to heaven because I've been very religious. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm an ordained minister. Put that up against the blazing holiness of God. I'm yellow smellow. I'm lost. Verse 27. If I can boast of observing the law, I'm lost. I've broken God's law thousands of times. No, verse 28. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith, apart from observing the law. Chris Lambrianu was a member of the Cray Twins gang in the East End in the 1950s. He was one of the Cray's henchmen. He was an evil, violent man. But later, he put his faith in Christ, and I heard him speak. He said, although I've done many terrible things that I'm ashamed of, I know that God has forgiven me. And I'll never be punished by God for them because Jesus died for me. Now the thing is, you're sitting there thinking, I'm not as bad as Chris Lambrianu. but you're still yellow smellow compared to the whiteness of God. And so the gospel humbles us. I've got nothing to boast of. I've got no qualifications for heaven. Verse 30, it doesn't matter what my nationality is. God will save me, not because of my own good works, but because of my faith in Jesus. That I'm trusting in Jesus, not in my own goodness. I am totally humbled. The next verse links with what Paul is saying about the Old Testament, the law. Abraham was saved by his faith at the beginning of the Bible. So justification by faith upholds the law. It's a fulfillment of the law. However, the simple point stands, verse 31. We will want to obey God. Now that we've been saved, because we love him, we will want to please him. But I'm totally humbled. I'm a sinner. I need the mercy of God. And this is what God offers me. God's rescue. Righteousness through faith. God's rescue. Appeasing his own wrath. God's rescue makes us humble. Well, will you humbly receive the forgiveness God offers you today? And will you play your part in God's rescue mission? Will you bring someone to the quiz or to the social on Saturday night? Will you come and do the survey on the street? Will you pray for the Spirit to be powerfully at work? Will you choose a few friends and pray for them regularly to be saved? Will you try and talk to people about Jesus? Just chat to people, ask them, are you a Christian yourself? You're not sure about these things? Just see what God does when you open up those conversations. Our God is on a rescue mission. So let's thank him for that. Let's pray. Father, we are totally humbled at the cross. If we think about it long enough, we're brokenhearted that our sin caused your Son to suffer both physical crucifixion, but the spiritual suffering of being separated from you and bearing your wrath. All we can say is thank you. Thank you. Help each one of us to receive this forgiveness and then to live lives which honour and please you and share Jesus and take this rescue to everyone that we possibly can. Please be with us next weekend. Please will lots of non-Christians hear the gospel at the quiz. Please would you open up wonderful conversations for us on the street and in the social in the evening. Thank you that you are a rescuing God. Please would we see this, Lord, in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.